Welcome to the Future of Tourism Podcast. I'm David Peacock.
Stop owning your own content.
Young leaders are stepping up.
Bring everyone to the table
and imagine their world anew.
Sporting events have the power to engage, unify, and ennoble people. But what happens when destination organizations and event organizers work in partnership to take these events to the next level? The Maryland Cycling Classic in September 2022 is a remarkable case study on how multiple partners and organizations work together to unlock the power of a mass participation sport event to both build community and share authentic stories of place. Held in Baltimore, Maryland, the 120.4-mile race, and it was a resounding success. In short, it was an event that engaged and inspired a community and at the same time created an incredible platform and spotlight to authentically share that community with the world. One thing shone through in the global coverage of the Maryland Classic, and that was authentic Baltimore. You couldn't miss it. Al Hutchinson is the CEO of Visit Baltimore. He's a friend and a peer and a remarkable advocate for using tourism's potential to empower and elevate people and places. Steve Brunner, the president of KOM Sports Marketing, brings his three decades of experience in unlocking the power of sport to engage, unify, and ennoble people. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Al. How are you? Al, you first. Where are you? What's it like? How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, David. Good to see you. Steve, good to see you, my friend. I'm here in Baltimore City, Charm City today. It's Friday, and it's been a busy week, although we, you know, had a little time off because of the 4th of July weekend, but it's been busy and just here doing the Lord's work, as they say, trying to make sure all of our visitors enjoy the great city of Baltimore.
Good stuff. Steve, good morning. How about you?
Here in my offices in lovely Colorado Springs, and been busy cracking at the 2023 Maryland Cycling Classic, kind of my bane in my existence for the next 2 months leading into the event. So, but that's what I signed up for happily and look forward to this year's event.
Well, very cool. So this is predominantly a tourism development audience, a tourism management, tourism planning audience. Steve, can you paint a little picture of a UCI event for us and the Maryland Classic in particular and why it's important?
Yeah, I mean, historically, you know, cycling events, if you go all the way back to the origination of the Tour de France, which takes us all the way back to 1903, tourism objectives were woven into the way that the national government looked at taking a cycling event as a platform and mobilizing that around the country. And so you see that now in Italy with the Tour of Italy. With this particular event, it's a one-day event versus a 21-day event. And then through that process, we've created a classic. And so under, if you looked at the international calendar, there's these one-day events that are called classics as opposed to tours. And that's what we've modified and created in Maryland. And so it's the top-ranked event in the U.S., for road racing. So we happily put it on in the backyard of Baltimore and our friends there. And then with the state support, with Visit Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, and also with Baltimore County, we've had a really happy marriage in order to get the platform up and running. And why that's key is that if you don't have the civic partners as your foundational partners in the overall scheme of things, you're never going to be able to run an event like this. So when we're talking about worldwide TV and we're talking about closing 200 kilometers of roads, that's a huge, you know, it's really a huge undertaking. And so you got to have your civic partners invested in this, like Visit Baltimore. Al's been a great advocate of what we've been doing. And so I think when you're looking at the level of event we're talking about and the simplicity of just saying it's a one-day event, and we got some of the best riders in the world coming, it's winner go home. So top guy wins it. It's not like the Tour de France and you have to wait 21 days.
Excellent. And the coverage of this is international.
We'll have 80 countries plus this year, Eurosport Plus, Global Sports Network. We've got our own app called Tour Tracker, which anybody can tap into on the home website. And then we've got a new partnership this year with Maryland Public Television, which hits six state region, which is really cool.
That's amazing. Al, when did this first come into your consciousness? And then I'll tell you a story about how it came into my consciousness halfway around the world watching a PowerPoint that Steve was doing. But when did it come into yours?
Well, and Steve knows this. I mean, we started working on this when the whole world changed in 2020. We were supposed to have the first Marlin Cycling Classic Labor Day weekend of 2020. And so Steve and his team been very gracious through this whole process. Merlin Sports, you know, our colleague Terry Hazelton has been a great cheerleader, and obviously the city and the state. But look, the beauty of this event, my job is to bring economic vitality to Baltimore City and to the region. And you said it earlier, David, but the beauty of sports, like music, it sort of transcends everything. It brings people together. And so this type of event, a cycling event, brings community together. I think in a city like Baltimore is very appealing because cycling is somewhat of not known to many folks in the inner city of Baltimore, although cycling is big in Maryland and big in Baltimore City. But there are a lot of communities and a lot of underserved communities that are unaware of it. So when you can bring an event like this, international event, you know, tip the five-star athletes coming in to perform, and you can share this genre with a community who may be somewhat unfamiliar, but then you can show them the greatness of this event, the beauty of it, the athletic appeal, and then they're able to find and identify a new opportunity. And, you know, it brings a smile to the face of a young child who doesn't have a bike, right? And Steve and his team's credit doing community give back was a very important piece of this overall athletic event. So this has been a beautiful gesture, beautiful opportunity. Obviously, it has great economics to it, and that's part of the reason you do it. But you also want to do it to uplift communities and bring people together. And I think that's what sports does. And I'm very excited about looking forward to this year's cycling event. You know, Labor Day weekend will be here before all of us know it. And I know Steve and his team are working very hard, as well as the Visit Baltimore folks. So this is something that means a lot to Baltimore and to the state of Maryland. And so we're very excited that it's here. We want to keep it here, and we want to grow it and make sure it's celebrated by the entire community.
Well, and the community piece was remarkable. I think I've told you both this story and a lot of people. We were halfway around the world, and I'm watching a presentation in a room full of professional cyclist management, professional cyclist teams, professional cyclists. And Steven stood up and started a presentation that really, if I could sum it up, it was all about Baltimore. It was about this great event, but layered in there so evidently was Baltimore and that whole sense of community. And Steve, you painted a picture. It's not a day event. It's a 3 or 4 day event. In fact, it probably starts almost the fifth day before the event it starts. Tell me a little bit about some of the dimensions to that community piece, Steve. You articulated it really well in that presentation. There was the school stuff, there was the city stuff, there was merchants. Wait, a little bit on that, please.
Yeah, I think we were used, my company KOM and our event management partner, Nautilus Sports, we had traditionally done Tour of California, Tour of Colorado, Tour of Alberta. I mean, we've done these massive week-long events. And when you have a week-long event, sometimes you're diving in and out of the communities. It's great, but it's all about just the race because that's all you have time for when you're in there, with the exception maybe of the overall start city. So in reimagining the model, one of the key things and in indicators was looking at the definition of the community impact and having that community impact fronted and making sure that it connects with the personality of that community. So yeah, we took by design and with great fostering great relationships with Visit Baltimore, Al's staff, and even Al's vision on this, Terry Hasseltine's vision on the state with the sport and entertainment, down to Mayor Scott and Johnny Olueski in the county and Leonard Howie when he was with the county. And there was a lot of foresight on community impact. And luckily, you know, with some of my background, I had done a lot of community impact programs in sport. And so we wanted to customize a program and look at what we could do. So the first year, you know, we were beta testing, looking at schools, and we had a community give back of 50 bikes and 50 helmets in partnership with United Healthcare. This year, we're going to add a couple schools. We're also taking our education curriculum, which is literally a booklet of 10 lesson plans, that we're going to include 15 Title I schools in Baltimore. And so that impact goes to education. It goes to literally trying to look at where and how we can get kids on bikes. The Holy Grail is to continue to evolve that program so it goes throughout the entire city and even into the state, and seeing where and how we can get kids bikes. And so that's a tall order because that's a lot of bikes, but the program is to go year over year and continue to build on that. So we have a community day on Thursday with school visits with athletes and some ambassadors we have, followed up by a community bike jam at Patterson Park, which is not too far from the finish line. And that community bike jam we did last year, it's like a bike rodeo with different stations. And that's meant to obviously get kids, families, and a lot of, to Al's point, you know, some families that have not been exposed to cycling, and to get them on bikes, or at least, so we had a helmet giveaways, and we'll have some of that as well at the community bike jam. It's also a way to communicate and directly communicate with neighborhoods, and in this case with recs and parks, looking at what we can do to create the spirit of the community around the bike. And that's super important for a weekend event like this. We think that program, the bike jam, could grow year over year to do multiple parks and do it throughout the summer, so we can extend it, you know, out 90 to 120 days. And that's what we've talked about. And then finally, the, you know, on Saturday, we do a charity ride. That one's up in the county. And I think we'll continue to evolve and redefine that with our partners, John Kelly, who's our chairman, and one of the partners at Kelly Benefits is hosting that. And so the charitable give back is important too, and how we try to build that out. And then we'll do a public team introduction. Al spoke at that last year, to parade the athletes and give a sense of this as an international, almost Olympic feel to the event. And that was well received. That's in a different district in Baltimore. And then finally, you know, the race itself, which connects the county, you know, to the city. And so even the route itself is its own marketing vehicle, and it was done by design. I mean, it was done to look at, okay, where in Baltimore can we take this? And we can take it anywhere, right? But making sure we knit together the various neighborhoods in central Baltimore was an objective. The Inner Harbor is a very famed area. You know, I have done bike races in the past, but going all the way back to the 1990s in Baltimore. So very familiar with that area, which helped me certainly re-identify and re-engage with that district and in that area, knowing that it really is a world-class visual, which I think carries over on kind of this postcard to the world. So you can see that I think a cycling event as a platform, going back to your original question, does some unique things because of its venue that a set venue in an arena can't do. And one of those things that's so powerful is knitting together those neighborhoods and sending that postcard out to the world.
I think that's super well articulated. And in talking about that, Al, you got a program that in the end, it's a world-class race, 16 teams, more than 100 elite cyclists. It becomes a week-long festival. Charity for Bridges of Hope raises significant six figures. Citizens Ride Safety Clinics. But that's now. Before it all started, you've got this concept, 2020, pre-COVID, to make it even more difficult. What was your thinking? What was the hard part? How did you move and inspire people at that point? How did you bring in those unusual suspects that created this massive mosaic of participation? How'd you do it?
Well, the truth on this one is it was very difficult. And Steve can remember this. Anytime you're bringing in public and private sector folks to try to put on an event like this in the midst of the pandemic of our lifetime, when essentially we're just trying to keep people healthy and alive, that's a tough backdrop to have this kind of conversation, right? So it took a number of phone calls, a number of meetings that Steve and I were a part of, especially getting our city folks on board with this. It wasn't the lack of vision of making this happen, but it was The city was being pulled in a number of different directions, just trying to keep their residents alive and giving them the proper information. And now we want to bring an event to the city. And it was a tough conversation, but I think the beauty of coming to a city like Baltimore, sports, we do this every day, you know, fortunately with the Baltimore Ravens, the Baltimore Orioles here, we know sports. We do a number of sporting events from whether it's racing, street racing events, Army and Navy football games. So we had a track record of how to put on a big sporting event. Cycling, yes, may be a little bit unique, but I think once we had good conversations with the city, state as a partner, and then the private sector, folks really saw how this event could really touch community. And I think really the beauty of trying to do these big events now is if you can make that connection to, yeah, this is an event, but then how does it talk and connect to the hearts of your residents? You know, there's a lexicon in my business called community shared value. And really in the tourism space, the cycling event really just that's the definition of it. It's a shared value event where you have these cyclists going through communities, neighborhoods, and you get those folks engaged. We did outreach to neighborhood associations to inform them and educate them to what this race really was all about. We had those neighborhoods open up and they were a part of it. I think that's where this race could really grow to get more of our neighborhoods involved and to celebrate the beauty of sports. But also in the time that all of us are living in right now, anytime you can bring an event in to help people feel better about their community, feel better about where they are in their space, life, and time, it makes sense. And that's what this event, I think, is the real big leave behind that we're going to do. We're going to leave the community better than it was before the Maryland Cycling Classic came to Baltimore. So this is an iconic event for us that I think is really going to help to improve the way our residents live and do things day to day here in Baltimore.
So in the world of television, we'd say, you know, the event is the A roll and everything else is the B roll. I will tell you, watching Steve's presentation and going back online and look at some YouTube stuff, the B roll of Baltimore, the people enjoying the event, the people engaged in the event, the smiles, the enthusiasm of those kids in the school, that is gold. I call that the Oscar B roll of the year. Like, it's really great to see that stuff. Steve, it's great when it works out. What's your biggest memory of challenge along the way? There must have been a ton of them. And I mean, not the least of which, again, is launching right at the heart of COVID. I think a year later, Al, we were meeting in Baltimore for DIA annual at 21, and you still had a year of COVID to go to get to the event, right?
Yeah.
Steve, what do you remember?
One of the things that sticks out is the community bike jam. It wasn't even the event itself, and I'll get to that in a second. But we had athlete in, former athlete, Fred Rodriguez, who grew up, he was born in Bogota, grew up in LA, lives in the Bay Area, went on to win a stage of the Tour of Italy, which is the second biggest race in the world, four-time U.S. national champion, really decorated rider. He was out and he was working with some kids, and he got the kid was about 6 or 7 years old to ride his bike for the first time. And his mom broke down in tears and said, I've been trying to get my son to ride a bike for a year. You did it in 15 minutes. That's magic to me. That's that's what this is. You want to talk about impact. And yeah, it's on a one-to-one level, but sometimes that's what makes it so distinguishable. And I think, you know, there are definitely some economic boundaries that cycling faces. And so our job as this major international platform should be to see how we can steward something greater than just this international event, because it is this lightning rod for media attention worldwide. But then how do you do that? You got to build platforms that you can thread some of these things through to touch communities, to Al's point. So the things like the route, and then all the way down to that one-to-one experience, are all important, in my opinion. And then if you looked at the event itself, what really registered with me was seeing the excitement of, and I'll give this props to, we were dealing with Morgan, one of Al's, someone who works for Al, and she had worked with us for about 5 months on this project leading in, and she just couldn't envision what was going to go on. I remember standing with her, you know, as the lead riders came in for the first circuit, and she was just like, oh my God, this is one of the most exciting things I've ever seen. Wow. And she was almost speechless. And so to see the reaction of the key stakeholders that you have, and that was, she wasn't the only one. There were probably, I could cite a dozen examples of people that were really energized by the positive and energetic vibe of the event. And as someone who has been in international sports their whole life, maybe sometimes I take it for granted, just because I've been around some of these things, but I never take for granted the deliverance of an experience. And that's kind of what that embellished. And so, yeah, it never gets old when you get people to an event and see the positivity around what a sport or entertainment vehicle can mean. And back to Al's point, bridging to what he said, so critical now more than ever to help build that community and that positive vibe. There's nothing negative about it. That's what I love about sports, you know, let alone cycling. But, you know, sport is all positive. It had a positive impact in my life when I was a competitor. And, you know, it's nothing better than kind of foster and steward that with your key stakeholders.
Hey, Steve, I can add that Morgan, she's changed forever because of that situation. Trust me. But no, she totally enjoyed it. And she's a rock star, as you know. But one of the things I want to add to this conversation, and sometimes we may take for granted, but having an event like the Maryland Cycling Classic come into a city like Baltimore, we were able to engage with a number of small business owners, sort of ma-and-pa coffee shops, folks who produce tea here in Baltimore. They were able to be involved in this event and, you know, sell their wares to an international audience and people coming in. And over Labor Day weekend, which sometimes in Baltimore is a little slower time of the year, kids going back to school. But the small business owners in Baltimore bringing an international event like the Cycling Classic to our community is big for a lot of these small businesses. And I never take that for granted because that's really the backbone of what we do here. Small businesses sort of drive things. And if you can take those businesses and sort of parlay them up to an event and help support each other, it's a big story. And so I'm really excited about that relationship and how we can really get more and more small businesses involved in the Cycling Classic coming up in the future.
Fantastic. So guys, I know you both, you come at this at 100%, 10% all the time. Al, your work on building communities and steering just positive development is great. Steve, I think you're beginnings in amateur sport really inform what you do. And I find you to be incredibly caring about the things you do, but I still got to say what we saw in the Maryland Classic and the work you guys did together went above and beyond what we're used to in the industry. Tell me, it was exceptional work, wasn't it? It was hard work. It was new work. There were all sorts of new things to it, weren't there?
Yeah, I will say that what makes Baltimore, this is going to sound like a cliche, but it's not, in my opinion, as someone who lives in Colorado doing an event in Maryland, you would say, well, how can you author an opinion on this? But maybe I'm a good person to author an opinion on this, is that Baltimore's people is what really makes it special. And we had a lot of people being honest with the situation, ask us, Chris Ehrenholt and I, why Baltimore, why Maryland and all that. And it's like, my whole response was, why not? What do you know about the community? These are people who have not been to the community. So our job is to get people to Baltimore so they can experience all the great things that I know I've experienced, Chris has experienced. And the people that come in from out of town are like, wow, this is a really cool community. And the people are special. They really are. And, you know, I'm originally from the Milwaukee area, and it reminds me a lot of that. You know, there's a lot of grit in the city. There's a lot of, like, pride. And I think the neighborhoods and the way the neighborhoods look at things are, you know, it's a community. And I think we need to foster that. And I think a bike race can, you know, can do that kind of things. I mean, I you know, I'm a passionate guy and, you know, sometimes emotional about these things, because I think if you care about the project you're doing and the impact, then you can elevate what you're doing. If you're going to be apathetic, then you're not really serving a purpose in this world, or you're even for the project that you're working on. And so going back to why is this different? It's been the people. It really has. It's been the Al Hutchinsons, Brandon Scott, the mayor, Terry Hasseltine, John Kelly. I mean, it's a phenomenal executive group here that has approached this. And to Al's point, it's great to have a vision, but then you got to execute on that vision, and then you got to build off the vision. But I think that's what has made this special, at least for me.
And Steve, if I could just number one, say thank you for that. And I often tell people the number one asset in Baltimore and in the Baltimore region, without a doubt, are the people. And these, the people here, they care. They care about their community. They care about each other. And I think sometimes Baltimore has this misperception around the globe, but once people come and really see Baltimore, and we use the crab metaphor a lot here, because a crab has their hard outer shell, but once you open that crab up and get splashed with all that flavor, that's when you really get to know Baltimore. And that's really who Baltimore is a lot of great neighborhoods, great people. They're all a little different vibe, but all of them care and love this community.
Well, just rounding it out here, Al, you're just wrapping up your presidency seat at Destinations International. You talked about the lexicon we use, community shared value. I would say the Baltimore, Maryland Classic is one of the best examples of a well-engaged stakeholder network who take an active role in collectively shaping the future of an event or place. I think that's a textbook definition on this one. I think you've done a ton for network building, not just in Baltimore, but at all the places you've been. Steve, it's so great to meet people like you from the other side of the ledger who care just as much about people and places. This has been a remarkable journey. I can't wait to see the 2023. I know it's a lot of work, but I'm sure it'll all be worth it. Final thoughts to our peers as we close out. Just one last thought. I'll go to you first, Al, and then you, Steve.
Well, look, first of all, as always, I thank you, David, for this platform. And Steve, nothing but love for you and your team, for your confidence in our community. And what I would close with, I would say all of us as leaders, folks who are listening on this podcast, we're living in a great time in this country and in this world. And I think the world is looking for the best leadership possible. And whether you're in cycling, whether you're selling destinations like I'm doing, we should all be doing what we can to uplift one another and uplift each other's communities, to make the communities better places to live for our kids, our grandkids, and celebrate life and celebrate goodness and celebrate all the contributions we make. And I that's why when I get up in the morning, that's what makes me come alive. I want to do something special for Baltimore that people say, you know what? This is a great place to live, great place to work, and a great place to play. So let's do our part to be the best leaders we can be, but also make wherever we live and work the best destinations to live in.
Al, I don't know if I can follow that up. That was so eloquent. You know, it really was. I mean, it summarizes everything I think that we aspire to as event promoters. And as I mentioned earlier, you got to be vested in the project. You also got to be invested in the community and the people that you're impacting. So the epicenter has always been Baltimore, then Maryland. And as we kind of spoke out, the East Coast, US, we've also got an international component to what we're trying to do to drive that. So it's a heavy burden, but if you're taking bite sizes out of what you're trying to do and you plot this with the right people with the right vision, you can do this over a period of a few years and you ultimately get to your goal. The Tour de France now is in its 110th year. There's a reason why it perpetuates this great image of France and its people and why it's become a destination for people to come to. So that's our goal here. You know, we want people coming in from out of town to experience what some of the people in Baltimore experienced last year. And anecdotally, I know already, I met people from North Carolina, from Boston, from DC, from Atlanta all last year, just running into them. And even including a couple from Belgium and Germany. And I thought they were coming in to maybe No, they came specifically for the event and to see Baltimore. That's what Al, you know, wants to see. That's what, as us as a marketing and promoting group, needs to continue to perpetuate. So I'll leave it with one thing that Mayor Scott said in our debrief in December. He walked in and the first thing he said was transformation. And everybody kind of looked at him. He said, he used that word, saying this event was transformational for the community. We got to find a way to make this a pillar of our community moving forward. Wow. I mean, if that wasn't a statement for the collective work of everybody in that room, and there were about 30, from chief of police to head of park and rec to representative from Visit Baltimore to Terry Hasseltine's group to the state to Medalist to KOM, that's what you, man, a mayor of a major metropolitan city saying that means we made an impact. But it doesn't mean that's the only line. It means now, great, we've earned the right to go to the next level. And we got to do it in concert with the city and with the state. And I think we'll continue to have good things happen. So for me, that's what it's like. Keep pushing for good things, and good things are going to happen. And the final thing to, you know, just summarize what Al had said from my perspective, which is it really is about impact. And if the community that you're impacting looks favorably at the end result of what you're doing, you know you're on the right track. And we saw that last year.
Well, tourism done well enriches the lives of citizens first and travelers second. And I have no question that this was a transformative, enriching event. It's a real pleasure to work with both of you. Keep up the great work. Thanks for being here, guys.